You are listening to Punk News Podcast episode 605, a very special episode. The student meets the master, but the question is, who's the student and who's the master? We are here with Mike Park of Mike Park, Mike Park of Bruce Lee Band, and Mike Park of Skank and Pickle. Mike Park, you were just on a couple of weeks ago. Thanks again for doing us the honor of a repeat performance.
I've been waiting for this day for months, the return of Mike Park, and it's happened.
And we are also here with Cat Bite, one of my favorite new, I don't want to say new band because they're about 4 years old now, so I guess newish is correct. So we've got Tim and Brittany. Tim and Brittany, do you guys feel like a new band still? Do you feel like a veteran band? See, when I see you guys live, I feel like this is an exciting new band, but it's been four years, but I feel like you guys are still popping. How do you guys feel? Where are you mentally at?
I still kind of feel pretty new.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we're new. I mean, we had like a whole year and a quarter like shaved off of our life. So like,
yeah.
I feel like if you're under 5 years old, you're still new. I just made that up, but I think I'm sticking with it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I feel like newish, but like, you know, we've all been like doing this shit and like been in the scene for a minute. So it's kind of like new band, same old shit. Like, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Well, there you have it. And we're also here with editor M. Moore. M. Moore, before you signed on, Mike and Tim were talking about beard maintenance. Who do you think has a superior beard, Mike or Tim?
Oh,
or do you think they're equal beards?
Does Tim even have a beard?
I don't even have a beard. It's just like, this is like 3 days of not shaving or 2 days. Yeah, 3 days of no shaving. So,
Tim, does your beard make you feel manly and powerful, or do you see it as a hindrance and something you wish you didn't have to deal with?
I hate it so much. I wish I could just like leave it like this. This is a good length. If I could just leave it here with like a 3 day sub, because it's not sharp and it's not smooth. It's just there, but it's not like not beardy. So, and like, you know, stuff's not going to get stuck in it. It's just there. If I could leave it there and not have to do anything, that'd be so great.
Mike, how about you? What's your opinion of beards in general? Do you enjoy having a beard? Is it an annoyance? Where do you stand with beards?
It's right now. I've never had facial hair, but since the pandemic, I just don't really care anymore. So I let it grow until it's at a point where I just can't take food in my face anymore. So it's really dependent on how I'm feeling on that day of when I'm going to shave it. Because I've been saying, I'm going to shave for the last 2 weeks and it hasn't happened.
The listeners can't see, but Mike's got, I would say, maybe a number three or number four beard. And I dig it on him. I think it gives him, you know, a distinct look. I think it shows that he's been through, you know, the ska wars, but he still has a lot of vitality left. Brittany, there's a gigantic industry on hair, all kinds of hair, hair up here, hair down there, hair on your face. You know, are humans naturally have hair? Are we too hung up on hair care? Or is hair care important because it shows you that you do have some power over the natural design, if you will?
I think that's up to each individual. I mean, I get like antsy and I always want to do something different to my hair. But that's just me and I like to do that. If I go into the salon, like, and I bleach my hair, like this took like 6 hours, I think. So you got to really put in the time for it. But some people just like don't want to do anything with their hair and that's cool too. But I like to do crazy stuff with my hair.
Yeah, crazy hair is fun. If you have hair, use it. that's what I always say. But
well, listen, enough about hair. Let's talk about something more consequential than hair. Let's talk about the brand new split EP with Mike Park and Cat Bite. It's out now via Bad Time Records. It's called Wave Breaker 2. And first of all, I got to say, I am excited. First of all, it's got four tracks, two by each band, and they are kicking. They really are kicking. But also, I dig that it's the 12-inch EP or the 12-inch single. Most punk bands, when they do the split EP, they do the 7-inch. But I love the 12-inch singles. It calls back to the 80s. Flock of Seagulls, New Order, Joy Division, Modern English, all these titanic 12-inch singles or EPs. So I think it's cool that you guys decided to do the 12-inch. But it's sort of a meeting of the minds. You know, a hot and upcoming ska band and a gentleman that has been involved in the indie and slash punk scene and has been important in the development of ska. And he's still doing his thing and still putting out kick-ass music. Catbite. What's it like to be on a split with Mike Park? Is it intimidating, or what's what we're looking for? Like, is it codifying? It's like we deserve to be here. What's it like to be on a split with Mike Park?
It's really fucking cool. I mean, I don't really, it was really cool when, Mike Sosinski from Bad Time brought the idea up, and I was like, that would be really fucking cool. I didn't realize it was going to actually happen. He told me the idea about it. He's like, because he told me about doing the Wavebreaker, and it started with Kill Lincoln and Lessa Jake. Then he hit us up. He's like, we should do you guys and Bruce Lee Band, which I think was the original plan. And then it ended up being just like solo Mike Park. And yeah, it was just like, whoa, I didn't believe it until it like was actually happening. And then here we are. And then like the icing on the cake was fucking Mike Park wrote a song for us on this, for us to record on this split. So Spiral was written by Mike, which was like, even cooler to be just like doing a split with him.
I feel like maybe at first it may have been like a little intimidating, but then like maybe not so much intimidation, but like more like a little bit of that with a lot of excitement. And then like we finally got to talk to Mike, and I mean, you've talked to him, and he's just like a very nice, genuine dude. So it definitely helped to ease our I guess intimidation.
Yeah.
I'm very intimidating, John.
As he wears a shirt with our faces on him.
On it.
That's our faces. That's crazy.
Mike. Oh, go ahead, Tim.
No, I was just gonna say, I can't believe we did that shirt. It was like a last minute thing for the last record. We're like, we need a shirt for the record release. And I was like, here's a picture of our faces. And then Mike Sosinski was like, okay. And then like made it into a shirt. And then there's been like, I think we sold like 20 of them, like 20 people have them. And every time I see them, it's really strange.
I think they're cool looking. I like the colors.
Yeah, it's a cool shirt. It's just like, it's funny. And I didn't realize Mike Park had one. And now I love these.
Yeah, I love the colors. I think it's a cool shirt.
Yeah.
What do you think, Em? You like this shirt?
Very cool shirt. Two thumbs.
Em, how old are you, Em?
I'm 23.
Where do you live?
I live in Ontario, Canada. I live by Toronto.
Shit.
Yes.
Do you like Degrassi?
It was always on, but I never really paid attention to it.
That's a shame, man.
Mike Park loves Degrassi.
To go back and watch it, like, properly, when I can appreciate it.
This interview is over, Em.
Oh, no. Wait, I know Drake was on it.
Yeah, Drake was on it. He's in a wheelchair. Yeah. I actually used to watch Degrassi pretty often when it was, like, Manny and...
Emma Page,
and Emma, Marco. Yeah. I really did like it, and then I just kind of fell off the wagon there.
You moved to Philly?
No, because I watched it when was I was a while like ago. Younger. Probably. Yeah.
What do you mean younger? You're only 18 right now. What's your problem?
Yeah, when she was four. 18.
It's her favorite show when she was four. Like preschool, she would go to preschool, turn on Degrassi. I was like, yeah. Everyone had popcorn.
I always felt like I like just like some of the topics that they got into, I was always like, oh my God, like my mom walks in, I got to change the channel.
That's spicy. Yeah. And where's your favorite place in Toronto to see a show?
Probably Danforth Music Hall. It's like the sweatiest venue ever. And what about the
Horseshoe floor? Tavern.
I like that spot too. It's good.
Where did we play? Hard Luck?
Hard Luck.
Hard Luck's in Toronto, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Have you ever seen Cat Bite Live or Mike Park Live?
I have not, and I want to see both. So please tour together.
Yeah.
I think you have definitely a better chance of seeing Cat Bite Live than Mike Park Live, because I'm too old, Em. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My body doesn't work very well anymore.
The offer is still there if you ever want us to be your backing band.
I got to get my knees. I need knee surgery.
I'm getting something. A hip replacement.
Ooh, lucky. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. After we have like two.
We're going to start the process.
Yeah, I'm going next week to get the process started. And we have like 2 months off in January. And that's like my goal is to get it. It's like bone on bone shit, which is
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I'll play a show and then I get off stage and I'm just like crying because it hurts so much. So it's like, yeah, hopefully we can get that done. And then you should get your knees done. And then we'll call it the bone replacement tour.
Yeah. What about you, John? Anything you need replacing?
Do I have anything I need replacing? Just my personality, really. But Mike, I believe Tim might have dropped a little kernel there. Has there been, I guess, preliminary discussions of a Mike Park Cap White combo attack?
They wanted me to do a show with them at the church in Philly, and with them backing me. But I just can't play shows right now. I don't.
Yeah.
Mentally, I'm not there to do it. And so maybe one day.
Yeah.
But who knows? Never say never, but I'd like to see Capite. I think that'd be fun.
That'd be really
especially
fun.
If it was in California opening for Streetlight Manifesto. That'd be sick.
I wish we could have done this. If Thomas would have asked me, like literally
like a few days before.
Like 2 weeks before that if he would have asked me about that like 2 weeks before, we would have been able to do those California shows. And it sucks. Like we totally would have. Cause like we ended up booking a couple random like festivals over this way in like Philly, New Jersey area. It screwed everything up. Cause like, then he was just like, he just texted me one day. He's like, hey, we're playing shows. Which ones do you want to open for? And I was like, ah, shit. Like this whole like California tour would be perfect, but we need right in the middle of that. We have like two confirmed dates over here. So.
Divorce in Britain.
No, divorce. We need to divorce Thomas. That's all Thomas's fault. That's blame true. Thomas.
Then what happens to Capite?
Well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Tim's out. Sorry.
No, what they should do is get divorced, and there'll be like two cat bites. Like there's two LA guns.
Yeah.
And there's like two Christian deaths. So it'll be like two cat bites. You know?
It'll be like Flag and Black Flag or whatever, you know, all that shit.
Which one? And we'll front one of the cat bites.
Yeah. Yes. All right. You're part of my cat bite.
Woo!
We're called Mike. Cat bite with a CH. Chat bite.
Chat bite.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just cat bite, but the H is silent.
Yeah, we're spitballing. We'll get there.
Mike, what's your opinion of legacy acts like Flag that reunite and play shows? Some people say it's amazing that you get to see. I mean, for me, I love Flag. I'm like, finally, I get to see Keith doing Black Flag tunes. But some people are like, oh, it's just cashing in on the legacy and has no real inherent value, which I don't agree with. But where do you stand on those kinds of things?
More power to each person's ability to do whatever they want. If it's not harming anybody and it's making people happy, hell yeah. If they suck, they suck. But if they're putting out a good product and you want to, you were never old enough to see Black Flag with Keith Morris, I think it's great. Like the idea of like Operation Ivy reuniting, I know people, I think most people are in favor of it, but there's some negative haters like, oh, it's just for the money. Of course, it's just for the money.
Of course, it's for the money, but,
but I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Yeah, like I went to see Flag a couple years ago. It was so sick, and also the support bands that they brought were great. It introduced me to Dirty Nil and Warren Women, two bands that like went open that tour, and it was just like it was such a good show. So,
Who's your favorite band right now?
Oh, that's hard. There's so many.
Top three. Oh,
no, three. Top five. Okay.
Top
five.
Top 10, just name
just like top you can think of right now.
Well, obviously Capite, and obviously new Bruce Lee band.
Sick.
What else? Okay. What else am I listening to? Baby Got Back Talk's really good. They do pop punk.
Are they from Canada? Back?
No, they're from New York. Okay. Canadian bands that are really awesome right now. There's Cluttered. They have a new EP coming out in October. Dirty Nil are awesome. Oh my god, they are one of the best live bands that I've ever seen.
They're so good live.
Yeah, that was like, yeah, they're so fucking good.
Oh my god. If yeah, you Canadian like them. Bands. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want Canadian bands. Tell me whether the best Canadian bands right now. Pop. Eastern Ontario.
Eastern Pop. Ontario. The OBGMs are really like absolutely insane live. They are so good.
Do you know this band, John?
The OBG, yes. M. Moore has been doing an excellent job. I hate to say I'm an old guy, and I don't feel like an old guy, but I'm not 19, I'm not 20, you know what I mean? And so, I'm like, hey, everyone see what Flag did this week? You see what the Circle Jerks did this week? And meanwhile, like kids that are like 17 or 18, they're like, why don't you just talk about the Doobie Brothers? M. Moore has been doing an amazing job of bringing incredible young up-and-coming Canadian, American, and English bands, and actually bands from all over the world that like are kind of the hot new developing bands like Le Cibu Grand, which is awesome, bands like Panic Shack. She's been bringing a lot of really cool bands to the site. So I do know of those bands, but only because M. Moore has her ear closer to the ground while I'm reading old Trouser Press magazines about when Joe Jackson put out his second album.
Ooh, I love Joe Jackson. What was the last house show you went to, Em?
House show?
Yeah.
Oh, way before COVID.
Yeah. Is there a house scene in Ontario?
Yeah, I was wondering that.
I think in bigger places, like where I am is very, very rural. Like there are maybe like, there's not even 200 people here. So the house scene is bigger in like, I think Oshawa has a pretty good one. Toronto had like a problem with DIY venues being shut down, so I don't really know what the deal is there, but yeah, I think if you know where to look, there's definitely a scene. I'm not in it, unfortunately. I wish it was, but like,
what do you think of London, yeah. Ontario?
Ooh, London has some pretty cool bands and stuff. I think Drew Thompson of Single Mothers is there now.
Single Mothers.
Oh, good.
They're done, right?
No, they have a new album coming out. Oh, no shit. October. Okay. Yeah, they have three singles out now.
Okay.
Yeah, check out Baby Bird. It's really, really good.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, that's they're one of my favorite bands of all time. Like
they're really so good.
Mm-hmm. John, what do you think of the Dead Milkmen?
Mike. I'll give you all the Dead Milkmen spiel. So Black Flag, top tier. Circle Jerks, top tier. The Germs, top tier. Dead Kennedys, top tier. Avengers, top tier. Black Rain and the Metro Squad, top tier. And then people talk about the Dead Milkmen like, oh yeah, the Dead Milkmen, they're a really, really cool band. The Dead Milkmen should get, the Dead Milkmen get a fair amount of respect. But they really are a top tier band. And I feel the reason they don't quite get the level of, they do get accolades, but they don't get the level of accolades of Black Flag and Circle Jerks and so forth, is because all four of the Dead Milkmen, and Dave Blood, RIP, and Dan Drew, the newest guy, and he's a nice guy too. All four of the Dead Milkmen, or all five of the Dead Milkmen, however you want to phrase it, are all very, very nice people. But also, they're all extremely punk rock in that, like, the Dead Milkmen will play 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 capacity theaters, depending on the place. But you can book Joe Jack Talcum solo. You can book Rodney Anonymous solo for your little house gig if you want. So those guys don't need to be playing house gigs. I mean, they can make their money elsewhere, but they do it because they care that much about music. They're extremely easy to work with. And I just think the Dead Milkmen should get so much more kudos than they do. But I will give the listeners breaking news. October 14, not Dead Milkmen, but something sort of similar, Philadelphia. Stay tuned.
Joe Gennaro paid for my dinner once back in actually, the early 90s. Paid for my pizza.
Let's talk. Joe is the I'm a huge Joe fan. I feel very indebted to Joe, but I feel Joe is I feel like I'm pretty good at reading people. I have a very, very hard time reading Joe. Did you have a hard time reading Joe?
No, because I know everybody's thoughts. I know what's going on in their minds because I have that, like, special. That's my mutant power. I know what's on your mind right now.
Yeah.
I know what Em is thinking. Britt, Tim, I know what you guys are thinking. You're thinking, gosh, Mike Park has really good facial hair. And good hair on top of his head, too. It's crazy.
It's just so that's perfectly up. Yeah.
Did you spike it?
No, this is how it is. It's like just so strong. If it once it starts like growing longer, then it'll fall it'll down. Fall. Like,
yeah.
It just won't stay down.
It's so cool. I wish. Yeah.
Do you think I'm pretty cool?
Very cool. One of the top 10 coolest.
Am I older than your father? How old's your dad?
53.
Ooh, we're so close. I'll be 53 this year. Do you think your dad would be my friend? Do you think he'd like me?
I think so.
Does he have punk roots?
In a way. In a way. Like, he had a punk phase. Then really...
He's a poser then.
Yeah. Poser.
A metalhead who had a punk phase.
He sucks. Look at John. John's probably 45-ish. He's still in the punk. How old are you, John?
45? I'm 39.
You 39, know, whatever. You look older. Come on. Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Not answering
45, 35. It's
all the years of working in law.
I'm taking hard hits here. I always thought I look younger than I am. But meanwhile, about a month ago, someone said that I was 40 when I was 38, and now Mike Parks called me 45 when I'm 39. This is my podcast, and I'm getting beat up over here.
We need to shake it up a little, John. That's
so do I have the Mike Park hair or not?
Yeah, that's what you do now.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Someone take a picture of it. We can screenshot it.
Screenshot that, Em. Come on, you're young.
Yeah, you know how it works.
I have no idea.
Speaking of shaking things up, let's shake things up by playing a Mike Park track, even though he just delivered me a brutal insult. This is Mike Park with Karina Deneke, and this is the new track off their split EP with Cat White. This is I couldn't Wait Out Through the Night, and we'll be right back.
I couldn't wait out through the night. I couldn't
are back. Mike Park, what advice do you have for cat bite?
Just have fun. And once it becomes, if there's, there's always going to be tension here and there as a working band. If you guys don't, if you let that tension boil up, that's when bands like are destroyed. And so anytime there's tension, it's got to be like, you got to yell it out right there. You can't bottle it up, especially on tour. When you bottle up that stress on tour, God, it's the worst feeling, because you're like, oh, Billy hates me.
Yeah.
I hate him too. I'm not going to say anything. Fuck him. You got to, you've got to let it out, and you got to go, listen, you're being a dick, and this is why. And they'll be like, well, you're being a dick too, because this is why. And you fight it out, and then you hug it out, and everything's good. Just to find that closure on tour when there's stress. Oh, it's the worst. Sure.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
Thank you. That's really good advice. I think we definitely, that's something that we've all like talked about. Like, we need to have communication between all of us. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it feels like it's going to be, you know, uncomfortable or hard, like, we just have to, because this is something that we all really want to work.
Yeah.
And if that's the one thing that will like destroy it, like, we need to nip it in the bud.
Yeah. I mean, that's what destroyed my old band. Like, it was just everyone being super passive aggressive. No one wanted to like confront the fact that there was this like elephant in the room shit, like, of just, it just kept growing and growing. And then it just became like, I was literally calling in sick to band practice. That's how bad it got. Yeah, and it was like, And then like, you know, I quit the band, and I was basically running the band, and then the band broke up within a month.
What's the name of the band? Let's get it out in public.
It was called, we were called the Snails. And then,
Which members did you hate the most?
Our current bass player. Actually, so Catboy's bass player, Ben, who's now my best friend, one of our best friends.
And at the time, you hated him.
Oh, yeah, we hated each other.
He used to be really mean, and I've told him this before. I've said it directly to him, like, Ben, you used to be really mean.
Yeah.
And he's addressed it. He said, yeah, I know, I used to be mean. I don't know why he was mean, what was going on in his life at that time. But
yeah, no, everyone in the band was super passive-aggressive. No one liked confrontation. No one,
he was mean to me, and I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah,
he was just
he got a girlfriend. He got a girlfriend. Now he's nice.
Yeah, he got a girlfriend. I owe it to Rosie. He's a nice guy now.
But no, it's crazy. Like, so he's not the original bass player in the band. Original is Johnny, our friend Johnny. And then when Johnny left, we were like, we need a new bass player. And it's like, well, who's the best bass player we know? Ben, but I fucking hate Ben, so he's not going to be in the band. And then we tried him out for like a couple shows, no practice, killed it. And I'm like, all right, this is at the time when we didn't think this was going to be a real band. Like, we were just still like, just like, what, we're like 1 year in, we put out a record, people are kind of caring about it, but we're just like, you know, it's just a fun thing. And we're like, all right, yeah, whatever, he can be our, we'll have him as our bass player. And then it's just like complete different dynamic. Like, it also helps that like our drummer Chris is basically a therapist. Like, so he went to school for music therapy, but he's just like our band therapist. And like, anytime there's any tension, he's just like, all right, we need to have a chat, and we all just like sit around.
He's very good at communicating.
He's really good at it.
It's really annoying.
It's really annoying, but it's for the best. And like, for the first time, it really, like, you know, because we're like literally the four of us are best friends. Like, during the whole pandemic, it was just like the four of us and our partners would just like hang out, and that was it. That was like just hang out all the time. We barely practice. We mostly just hang out. But like this last tour that we did with Jeff Rosenstock, which was like a month long, you know, tensions were getting really high halfway through the tour, and we just like started having these powwows where Chris would be like, all right, you guys are being bitches. Everyone's being bitching at each other. Let's just talk it over. And then we would do it, and we're good. And it's like, that's something that bands need to do. And
it's hard to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have like very stubborn people who are not willing to do that, but.
Yeah. So yeah, you're definitely right on that, Mike.
I can see it. Yeah. Like, I've seen so many bands. I'll see a live band, I'm like, oh, they've dialed it in. They hate each other, and you can see. And I feel like most people in the audience, they don't know. They're just there at the show. But my God, you can, it's for me, yeah, because I've been so involved in music for so long and that's so passionate about it. And I've seen so much live music. When you see a band that's just going through the motions, it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what bands hate each other that we might know, that we don't know hate each other?
Oh, I'm not going to name names, John. I'm not that type of person.
The Snails.
I used to say that to you when, like, after you would play a show.
You'd be like, try not to look so fucking miserable. I'd be like, I fucking hate them all so much.
I'd be like, you really look like you hate it up there.
And I'd be like, yeah.
Terrible feeling.
Well, yeah. It was like, I mean, like, playing music is like the only thing that I like to do. And it was like, this was my high school band. So it was like, if I gave up on this band, it was like, all right. Now what? Like, it was at the point before I started writing music, I was just like the manager and I played rhythm guitar. So it was like, the songs were great. I would play them. I love performing. I love being in a band, but like, I didn't think I had the capability of writing music for my own. So I'm like, it's either this or nothing. And then like, my life's over because I need to be doing this shit.
Where's the singer of the Snails now?
He's about a mile that way.
Are you guys cool?
Yeah, we're actually cool. We actually just hung out for the first time in a couple months. A week ago. Yeah. So like he was my best friend in high school. It was like all my high school buds and stuff. And like our current bass player, Ben, and his twin brother, Josh, was the drummer. We're all now friends again. It was just like, it just didn't work. You know, we were all had that same personality, whereas like we hate confrontation. We're musicians, we want to play shows, but we don't want to address like the fact that the band.
You think the singer is jealous of Catbite?
He's in a band, he's in a country band right now, called Cosmic Guilt.
But nobody cares about them, let's be honest, right?
They're cool. He's still playing music.
Decently big in Philly. They play a lot in Philly, and they play some really big gigs in Philly. But
I hate them. I hate them. Man. I don't even know them. I hate them. John, they're from Philly. Sue
they're
them.
Cool.
Sue
they're
them.
Cool.
I'll sue them for breaking. I'll sue them for having some associate with Tim from Catfight.
Em, what's the worst band you've ever seen live?
Oh, dear God. Fitting name.
Oh, that's the band.
That's the band name?
Okay.
That's the band name. Yeah. It's just like this young kid and he's trying out different things and he's doing like rap punk and he was opening for, he was opening for the Dirty Nil. And then it was Single Mothers, then it was the Dirty Nil. So, he's yelling at the crowd. He was like, being really aggressive and mean, so no one was supporting him. And I was trying to be like, you're doing a good job.
Aww. Were you right up against the stage? Were you right up against the stage?
Oh, no.
Right
up front? Oh. At least,
so
like...
He didn't see you then. So
probably
your support was not
on the balcony.
I think I was like three people away.
Okay. John, do you stand up front at shows? Are you... way back?
Yeah, it depends. Usually I'm closer to the front than the back.
I always see you.
That's actually, can you see people from the stage? Like if you look out, can you see people or do you just see like a wave or like darkness? You know what I mean?
Depends on the lights.
Yeah, it depends on the venue. And depends on how, so it depends on the venue for sure, but also like, so I'm super hyper aware of everything all the time. I hate it. But like, if it's like a good show and it's going well, I usually won't care about the crowd. If it's a show that's like questionable or like poorly attended or just anything for my like anxiety to go up, I'm like hyper aware of everything. And I'll like just directly look at the crowd and be like sussing it out and stuff. So I would say 60% of the time you can see the crowd.
Here's a question for both Catboy and Mike Park, and either of you can chime in. Have you ever had a situation where you've had a fan that's like too intense, that's like at every show, that like messaged you guys a lot? Is that a thing? And how do you handle that?
Oh, I'll go first. I mean, if they're a super fan, then I'm down. Sometimes if they're punishing me too much, I'm very polite. I'm like, oh, I gotta go. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's over. The punishing is over. But I let them punish me a little bit. And then I just go, I politely say, oh, I gotta warm up. I gotta do something. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, okay.
Mike did that to me once in Santa Cruz. It was like the Jesse Michaels country band at the Catalyst Club. And Mike was there, I think, with one of the other guys from the Chinkies. And I was talking to Mike, and then out of nowhere,
Jesse Michaels country band. What's the country band?
Jesse, maybe it was classic. Oh, maybe it was classic love and bottom music industry. Jesse Michaels had a country band that he only did three shows with. I saw all three. It was the Passage Walkers. The band was called the Passage Walkers. It was Jesse Michaels and the guy from his name's like Jean Pierre or something like that.
Oh,
I don't know who it is.
Guy that's got like a French name. And it was, they did three shows, and it was kind of like Johnny Cash meets Roger Miller. And actually, it was pretty cool. Although I prefer Classes of Love, which is like one of the best bands ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Passage Walkers band sounds lame. Oh my God. What do you think, M? Pretty lame sounding, huh?
They should tour with the Cosmic Guild.
Ooh.
Just kidding. I like the Cosmic Guild. They're really good. They're cool.
If the Avengers played in Philadelphia, would you be right up front against the stage, John?
I was like 3 weeks ago. I was there.
Oh, but were you ride up? Were you ride up against the stage? Ride up,
like smelling like I was like right up there, like at the toes of the band members, going back and forth. I was there, Mike. They looked at me. They were like creeped out. I'm like, yeah, the Avengers. I will say, Mike, you must agree. Penelope sounds amazing still. True.
I haven't seen the Avengers since the original incarnation.
Back how in was the that? Was that
early
awesome?
80s?
Was that awesome, or is that time period like overstated? You know what I mean? Like people say, like, oh, were the Bad Brains that great? And like Henry Rollins or whoever will say, yeah, the Bad Brains really were that great. The Avengers, were they that great, or was it kind of not that cool?
When I was that age, a lot of that music I was, it's hard to explain. Everything in the early 80s that I saw live, I just thought they were so cool. Anybody who was in a band. So to me, everybody was cool. So I can't really decipher like my music listening ability to decipher what's good or bad at that age. I couldn't tell. Everyone was cool, but I saw a lot of cool bands, especially in the early days. So I'd be able to go, yeah, I saw like Steve-O, I saw the original Vandals, or I saw many things.
I'm going to hit Mike Park with a question. Then I've got a question for Catboy. But Mike, you know, we've been throwing some mud around and we've been dishing some dirt. What was the worst legendary band that you've seen?
Legendary band that I saw. Huh. So we're talking like Black Flag era bands, like Circle Jerk, 7 Seconds, those.
Anybody 77 to 84, we'll say.
RKL? RKL was pretty bad, like, but it was a later. It was probably RKL in like 92, and it was horrible. Like they started playing like funky metal. It was just like all the punks there was so pissed off. I was like, oh no, funky metal. Funky metal is also the worst music ever.
Yeah,
agreed. M, what do you think? Funky metal.
I do like metal. Funky metal is, it's not up there.
Okay, let's go down through everybody. We'll start with Brett. Worst funky metal bands.
Can you give me more, like,
give me examples?
Nope. We're gonna just okay. The word funky metal, funky you're metal, gonna pick.
Well, is would funky metal be similar to like
I'll say Limp Bizkit. I'll go with Limp Bizkit.
That's funky new metal. Okay. Band.
No, I'm
that's
calling
new,
it funky,
that's
metal.
Funky metal.
No, I'm calling it funky metal. I'm calling it like
I think calling Limp Bizkit.
Okay, yeah.
I think calling those bands funky metal is an funky insult metal to both funk and metal, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Funky metal. Who's your least favorite funky metal band?
What about funky metal? Can I take a pass real quick while I think
Tim?
You go. I mean, I would just go default to Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh yeah.
Yes. I do like I kind of grew up on Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit and Korn. That was like, that was my shit. That was my introduction to heavy shit. Yeah. It was like, I listened to is basically Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit for about 5 years. And then I discovered Anti-Flag. And then it was just like, and then punk rock. Yeah.
Did you listen to Funky Metal in your room and just like start like just going crazy by
yourself?
Yeah,
no. So actually the first time I went to go see Anti-Flag, the week leading up to it, I watched my Linkin Park Live in Texas DVD every single day and like practice moshing because it was my first show ever. Yeah, it was first show was Anti-Flag and Bond the Music Industry. And I had to get ready to like figure out how to do the shit. So I just watched Linkin Park Live in Texas every day, just on repeat. I would come home from school, put it on, and I would just like imitate the people in the crowd.
Did you feel prepared?
So then like I got to the show and people were doing this weird thing. Apparently it was like skanking, circle pit shit. You know, I was very new to this. I was like, they weren't doing this on the Live to Texas DVD. So I just imitated the people. It was great.
John, Funky Metal, John. Worst Funky Metal band.
I will say Limp Bizkit and Korn are way, way worse than the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I'm still going with Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'll tell you why. It's because you look at the individual parts. A singer that wants to be Iggy Pop, a bass player that was in Fear, you know, they combine metal, funk, punk. It should be great. Songs about doing heroin. It should be great. And somehow it's just so bad, so bad. Red Hot Chili Peppers is the reverse Sublime. You know, a punk band that does reggae, you know, metal, punk, a singer that has a soulful voice but can also scream. Amazing band. Red Hot Chili Peppers is the negative Sublime, if you will.
What about the single from Coneheads? What about the single, the Red Hot Chili Peppers song from the movie Coneheads with Dan Aykroyd?
I'm sure it's bad. I did hear Red Hot Chili Peppers cover Iggy and the Stooges on the Beavis and the Butthead soundtrack. And honestly, it was not as bad as I thought it would be, but it was still pretty bad.
I do love Coneheads, though.
Did you watch the movie?
I've seen the movie. Yeah, I like the movie.
Yeah.
Sick. Watch it tonight.
Yeah, we should watch the single. Okay. Oh, we're packing for tour, yeah.
All right, I came up with one. What about Smash Mouth?
I wouldn't say funky metal there, just bad. the singer was my neighbor for a bit.
Really?
Lived kitty corner from me, yeah.
Whoa.
And he got the woman who owned the house got a restraining order against him.
What?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, they were engaged. You can Google it. Restraining order, Smash Mouth.
Jeez.
Em is doing it right now.
He seems a little off his rocker.
Really quick, funky metal. Worst funky metal band, Em, is?
I have to agree with you, Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
I can't.
I love that they have this revival going where everyone's like, oh, they're kind of cool. And I'm like, oh, hell no. It's so bad. With his Smith shirt on, he thinks he's all cool. Hell no, John. You know what I'm saying?
I will say Limp Bizkit is a terrible, terrible band, but I will say Masterstrike by Limp Bizkit in reinventing themselves over the past 2 years. They just did a tour where they had like Scowl open and a bunch of other cool up and rising bands.
Yeah.
I think people don't understand, like I don't even know if Limp Bizkit knew if they were being ironic. And I honestly don't know if current Limp Bizkit fans are being ironic. Or they genuinely like Limp Bizkit. I think it's both.
It's both. Like, I think Fred Durst is like a smart fucking dude. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing and he's just milking that shit so hard. He's a smart dude. The guitarist
played with Danny Elfman at Coachella.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. Good for him, huh?
Quiz time. Catbite, can you name the Oingo Boingo cover that Mike Parker's played on, but it's not even technically an Oingo Boingo cover. It's actually an old blues cover.
No.
Violent Love. Is that John Lee Hooker? Who did Violent Love?
I don't remember. But I know it was a cover of a cover.
Yeah. Anyways.
That's a sick song.
Violent Love?
Violent Love. Oingo Boingo does a ska version of it.
I never even heard it.
It's sick. M loves that. That's M's favorite song.
It is. It's my soundtrack. When I come into a room, that's what plays.
John, so when you're next year, when you turn 50, what are you going to do? Is there any like special occasion for your 50th?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I will tell you exactly what I'm going to do. So yeah. I'm a firm believer in that you should have some level of self-confidence and maybe a tiny chip on your shoulder. You don't want that shoulder to be too big, but you want a tiny chip on your shoulder. And I'm pretty proud of the shows that I've thrown in Philadelphia. Catbite has blessed me with appearances twice, and I feel we've had some really, really cool concerts. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, I went to this thing called the Philly Vendor Bender, and I believe it was organized by this guy called Eric, who's in this amazing band called Zorn. And at the end of the Philly Vendor Bender, Zorn came out, and they brought out three dudes carrying like actual torches with like 6 foot high flames. They bring out a coffin. Eric pops out of the coffin. He's got a whip. He's like whipping the audience and screaming and stuff. He grabs a sword.
John froze. John's frozen. Yeah. So what happened was he has a sword. Sword
on fire and swears literal fires were around the audience while they're singing.
That was the craziest part for it to freeze.
It's cool, John. Yeah, that's awesome. We couldn't hear a word you said, but that sounds
You froze at the climax of the fucking story.
Oh, my God.
All
right,
I'm back.
He said sword.
So he grabs the sword. The sword lights on fire. The flame is literally like 6 foot high. He's like swinging around the audience. He's like singing. It was crazy. It was one of the craziest live things I've ever seen. And I feel like the punk news shows are pretty unique. We do like game shows and stuff. And, you know, we throw confetti out in the crowd. And I'm like, damn, like the game has just been upped. So what I'm going to do when I turn 60 next summer, I'm going to have a festival in Philadelphia, and it's going to be rad, and I'm going to beat Eric in a friendly competition style battle.
Whoa. Okay.
So you nice. Like Philadelphia better than the Bay Area. You like living there.
You know, great question. I used to live in the Bay Area. I love the Bay Area. I lived in the Bay Area for about 8 years. When I lived there, the music scene was amazing. When I left Philadelphia, the music scene wasn't that great. When I came back to Philadelphia, the music scene in Philadelphia was great again. I honestly probably like them both equally. I love the Bay Area. I mean, the Bay Area, so many cool venues. Philadelphia's got a better house scene, but the Bay Area has more venues and more record stores, and Bay Area's pretty cool.
What about the humidity in Philly?
Terrible.
Like way that? Worse than the Bay
Fuck
Area.
That.
Way worse than the Bay Area, it especially sucks. Now.
There is so no bad. Humidity in the Bay Area. It's beautiful.
It's so hot. It just thunderstormed right now, and it's still so hot.
Yeah.
Mike, one frustrating thing that I did have in the Bay Area, and they talk right about this in the Gilman book, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not. Like, in the Bay Area, someone will be like, oh, yeah, your band is really cool, or the show you put on is really cool, and then you'll leave, and then they'll go see someone else in Gilman and say, John's a real asshole. Like real two-faced type behavior. Have you felt that in the Bay Area? Because the Give Me Something Better, the story of 924 Gilman, has chapters devoted to that exact issue, as does Larry Livermore's book, How to Ruin a Record Label.
Sure. I mean, there's assholery everywhere. In every scene, there's going to be bad seeds. You know, everyone can't be cool like M here. You know what I'm saying, M?
Yes.
Such a kind person here. But, It's I think that goes everywhere, John. There's going to be bad seeds in Philly, bad seeds in Toronto. It's just, you know, you try to surround yourself with the good people in each scene.
Yeah. And Mike Park, Tim, and Brittany, I want you to rank them from 1, 2, and 3 on coolness. Who's the coolest? Who's the least cool?
Oh my gosh.
In terms of the people here?
Yeah,
what are
we
ranking?
You...
Am I ranking myself?
Rank. No. Oh,
okay. Yeah, do it.
Rude.
I know the answer.
It's fucked.
I'll let M think. Catbite, we're wrapping up the show. Catbite, what advice do you have for Mike Park?
Get some knee replacements and then do a show with us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do... Get your knees replaced.
We'll book some shows out near you.
As soon
that
as
way
we
you don't have to travel.
Yeah, as soon as we know when your recovery is going to be from A to B, you know, A to Z, whatever. We're going to figure out when you're going to be at your tip-top shape, and then we're going to book a residency in the Bay Area,
And residency.
Yeah, and what we're going to do is just for 3 nights in a row, play a 20-minute set, and it'll be a different 20-minute set every night.
Ah,
and then okay. then you're done. That's your official retirement party. And then you don't have to play any more shows unless you want to.
Okay.
And we'll go.
I would, if I do something with you, I would like to go to the East Coast and do like Philly in New York.
All right, let's do that then. Yeah, I would love that. That'd be so fucking dope.
2024, here we come.
All right,
we'll be here.
Said it. It's happening.
Yeah, no, that'd be so much fun. We'll open and then we'll be your backing band as well.
Ah, sick.
Yeah, so we'll play like fucking 3 sets. Or something. We'll do Hell all right. Yeah. So Capway will open, and then it'll be a Mike Park set, and then it'll be Skank and Pickle set, and then it'll
come on,
and then it'll end with a Bruce Lee band set, and then the Dead Milkman will headline.
Ooh, that'd be a weird show. That'd
yeah, but cool. But we're the backing band for everyone, and then it's Joe Jack and
oh
us.
Oh my god.
I don't know. That seems a little wild.
Just kidding. I don't want to play. Yeah, Dead Milkman's too much for us. We'll just be your backing band.
It's in the works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. The church. Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my advice.
A lot of people dreaming big, and if there's one thing that I've learned in life, dream big, because all the dreams won't come true, but some of them will. Mike, Tim, and Brittany, anything you want the listeners to know about? Anything you want them to check out? The new EP is out right now. It is killer. Wavebreaker 2 on Bad Time Records. 2 tracks from Mike Park. 2 tracks from Catbite. It kicks ass. Anything you guys want the listeners to know about?
I'm stoked for like 2022 as a just awakening of cool things happening within ska. So many great new bands and so many supportive people. And I love looking as an older cat, just looking at it. From afar, because I'm physically not there, but I'm very vocal on socials, I guess, about it. And yeah. I'm excited for all the bands and what they're doing and how they're supporting each other. And those are my final words, John.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Yeah, I mean, same. Like, there's so many rad ska bands that are just doing really good stuff right now. I've been in this ska scene ever since it started not being popular at all. I feel like I got into it like right when it was kind of the worst, at its worst, no one was really paying attention. And like to see people paying attention to it now is really cool, because I missed that time period when people paid attention to ska. And now that it's back, it's like really cool. And there's a lot of labels doing, like there's the Bad Time Records, there's the Ska Punk International, there's just ska bands all over the world doing really cool stuff.
Jump up.
Yeah. Chuck just killing it as always. Ska is cool. Make fun of your local ska hater.
I love the ska hate.
It's great. That's
funny.
That's everyone I work with. Like just today, they my coworkers wrote ska in bicycle valve caps on my desk. I'm a bike mechanic, so it's just like little valve caps. They wrote ska, and it's cool.
So if I need like bike fixing help, I could like FaceTime you, and you could probably go, yeah, you got to do this, put that there.
Yeah, I'm a bike mechanic.
Hell yeah, I'm gonna save so much money.
I can get bike parts sent to you for like probably like 60% off.
Oh John,
yeah, I got you Mike,
thank you for this podcast. This is what I live for, man.
You're gonna be in the Tour de France by next year. We'll be good with that new knee, new bike. You're set.
Oh,
Lance Armstrong, yeah. Get the fuck out of here. It's Mike Park.
Hell yeah, John. John, sick. Today was a sick day. Thank you for making this happen. Em,
yes.
What a pleasure. Pleasure having you here again.
Right back
at you. I've taken over this interview. I'm sorry, John.
Listen, as I said, I appreciate self-confidence, and Mike Park Mike Park has a duality. Sometimes like he doesn't have self-confidence, and then sometimes he'll take over another person's podcast and claim it as his own. And that's what I like about Mike. And here's another thing I like about Mike. Everyone, thanks for coming, listening to the podcast. Cat White and Mike, thanks for coming on. Let's close this on out with a Cat Mike, I mean, a Cat Mike, a Mike Park competition as played by Cat White. This is Spiral, and we'll see you next week.
Pat you on the back, tell you good job, and send you on your way.